It's that time where we get set for the final contest of the MAAA Conference Softball Tournament, and it's a matchup that has some pedigree behind it. A rivalry has been built over the past couple of spring softball seasons, and it's been a repeat 2 years prior to this between these two teams in this championship game. West County and Bismarck will square off for the title up for grabs in the MAAA. Broadcasting today on AM 800 at KREI Farmington from the Potosi Sports Complex off 185 in Potosi. And West County will match up with Bismarck. The winner takes all. And if history will repeat itself, the way it will unfold is West County is a perfect 12-0 against Bismarck over the past couple of years with a big, big-time one-sided rivalry. And I guess you could quote Paul Pierce. He said it's not a rivalry until someone else wins. But the way things unfold in these games, it's always going to come down to the wire. And the one game that they did play earlier this season was a 7-6 finish, and that was Bismarck on the road with a 6-1 lead, six unanswered runs in the sixth and the seventh inning for West County to walk it off for the W. And that was the only time the two met this season. They were scheduled to play a game the Friday before this tournament started. And we know how that's gone with the weather this April. That game never took place. It was washed out. So this will be their second matchup of the year. And West County trying to get to a 13-0 record against Bismarck and Alyssa Sago and Coach Josh Haggerty. And speaking of Coach Josh Haggerty and the head coach of West County, C.J. Wright, I didn't have a chance to catch up with both of those individuals. And before we get too far into our pregame show, we'll step aside. And on the other side of this two-minute pause on AM 800 KREI, we'll hear from the head coach of the West County Bulldogs. Dogs. Coach C.J. Wright sits down with us next on KREI.
It was 1963.
And Fleek's Equipment in St. Genevieve was founded as a family-owned and operated business where it still remains today.
And in 2016, our second location in Ludington is opened.
Here at Fleek's Equipment, we are known best for selling exceptional equipment such as Case IH, Hustler Turf, Spartan, Vermeer, Cub Cadet, and many more.
Service from the time you enter the door or pick up the phone is taken to heart, because at Fleek's Equipment, we ask that you let our family serve your family.
There are lots of places to get mowers, tractors, and any piece of equipment, but none with the history and longevity of Fleek's Equipment, a proven company with certified technicians and customer service where you're more than just a number.
Your business is a family tradition to us.
Fleek's Equipment, Highway 32, St. Genevieve, on the outer service road at Ledington Exit, are online 24/7, Fleegs.com.
Fleegs Equipment, let our family serve your family.
The choice of an insurance company is an important one. You want someone to provide you with the best policy, with the best price, and the best service a company possibly can. Welcome home to Missouri Alliance Mutual Insurance Company. Hi, I'm Kim Fisher.
And I'm Chris Schamberg. Missouri Alliance Mutual Insurance Company provides you with the best policy, the best price, and the best service we possibly can.
We are and will continue to be a hometown company with hometown values, servicing insurance needs in Perry County, St. Genevieve County, and in the surrounding areas.
You're at home with Missouri Alliance Mutual Insurance Company. Call our offices today in Perryville at 573-547-6633 or in St. Genevieve at 883-3520 or online at moalliance.ins.com.
Your time is precious. With online and mobile banking from Bloomsdale Bank, you can quickly check balances, make payments, transfer funds, and more. All from your smartphone, tablet, or desktop, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Which leaves you with more time to do the things you want. Manage your money with your fingertips with online and mobile banking from Bloomsdale Bank. Connected to our customers since 1914. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Conference softball tournament on AM 800 KREI, and a rematch, a rivalry. It's been brewing for a couple of years. We'll see it again tonight as West County will take on Bismarck. Standing with the head coach of West County softball, Coach C.J. Wright. Perfect so far against the Indians. How do you keep that true statement?
You know, tonight we just got to come out and battle at the plate, try to put as many balls in play as possible and lengthen the at-bats and just make Alyssa work. That's the big thing. You can't let her settle in and have quick innings. You just got to make long innings and make it tough for her, and that seems to work. If we go easy, then it becomes easy for her. So the plan is just have tough at-bats. It's not to get a hit every time. It's not to rack together a bunch of hits. It's just a rack together a bunch of tough at-bats.
The last time that you all had played, you had a scheduled game right before this tournament that had to be postponed. Before that, definitely a game that went down to the wire. You trail late, you end up walking off on that one. Do you expect a similar competitive nature in this one?
Do I expect it? I hope yeah. I hope not, but it's probably, you know, it's just it's proved the last three or four games, times we've met, it's been close games, been really competitive games. And, you know, last game we just got started off rocky tonight. We just got to start off on the right foot, not have, you know, three or four errors early. We just got to come out with a positive note early and just get something positive going early for our offense. And then I think things will settle in and we'll be just fine.
Looking at the past record against Bismarck and then looking at your team, it doesn't seem like the ladies would put a whole lot of stock in while we've beaten them X amount of times. Well, I don't think they'd be too concerned about it. Just more, first and foremost, win today.
Yeah, you know, that's what we talked about. It don't matter what we did in the past, and it doesn't matter what we're going to do in the future. It's all about today, and you got to take it one game at a time. And anytime you're facing a competitor like Bismarck and Alyssa, and, you know, there's definitely a handful of other girls on that team that can beat you with one swing, and we just got to stay out of the middle of the plate today and compete in the circle. And it's just one game at a time at this point from here on out, from conference finals to districts next week. You lose one, you're done.
That's right. Once again, the head coach of the West County softball team, Coach T.J. Wright. Coach, good luck against Bismarck as you close out the tourney.
Thanks a lot.
We'll have first pitch coming up just around the corner on the Talk of the Parkland, AM 800 KREI.
You are not one who simply follows the herd. For you, a tractor is a functional tool, not just a color of paint. At Cole's Tractor and Equipment, we invite you to compare before you buy. Heck, we encourage you. Don't pay those franchise fees. LS, the major brand maker, offers a 5-year warranty, the best on the market. Compare the LS tractor to other brands. We know you will find more standard features, including the R4 industrial tire, quick attach loader, skid steer quick attach bucket, dual hydraulic remotes, and much more. Simply put, get more features, the best quality, and the best warranty with lower prices. We know you'll find yourself saving thousands below other major brands. Come see us at Cole's Tractor and Equipment today, 1 mile east of Farmington on Highway 32. Give us a call at 573-756-4353. You are not one who simply follows the herd. For you, a tractor is a functional tool, not just a color of paint.
Cole's Tractor and Equipment. Don't just follow the herd, lead the herd.
Getting set for the final contest of the MAAA Conference Softball Tournament on KREI. Joining us now on the pregame show for the final game, the head coach of the Bismarck softball team, Coach Josh Haggerty. Coach, familiar foe across the way, to say the least. How do you get by West County this afternoon?
You know, it's like you said, nothing shocking here. We've seen each other play for a long time, you know, many times a year, subtle changes here and there. But for the most part, we know exactly what they've got. They know exactly what we've got. It just comes down to which team is going to make the fewest errors and which team is going to hit the best. You know, it's just it's that simple, honestly.
When you have two pitchers, clearly they could be considered the two best pitchers in this conference in the spring or in the fall, for that matter, when you have Ricky Lynn and Alyssa out there. What approach do you tell your hitters? Is it patience? Is it what do you say when you're facing a pitcher like what's on either side today?
Well, you know, it's kind of a combination of patience and aggressive. It's, you know, it's kind of a give and take there. You know, we want to be patient and not swing at bad pitches because we know that she's, you know, she's going to move the ball around. She's going to use the whole play. She's going to go high. She's going to go low. But we also have to be aggressive, not going up and taking a strike, two strikes, and getting deep in the count. So we really want to hit. We want to hit ahead of the count. We want to go up and be aggressive. We play better when we go in with that attitude of aggressive hitting and base running.
What can you take away from the game earlier this season at West County? You have them on the ropes late. They rally at the end of it. You don't get to play the scheduled game just before this tournament. So what can you take away from that early season matchup?
Again, not many surprises, you know. The main thing we took away was they're not undefeatable. You know, we can do this. And our girls have, we've played them, like I said, many times in the past. And it's kind of that looming cloud, that West County game for us. We kind of fall into that mindset of, oh, boy, here we go again. But, you know, we just have to break out. And we know that we can do it. We have to have the confidence going in. And not only that, we have to learn and basically just put it away. You know, we had them up 5-0 at one time, and they just, you know, I'll give a hint. I'll give Coach Wright credit. They just kept chipping away, and then the pressure got to us. We made some untimely errors and then just kind of rolled over. So we have to go in from first inning all the way to the seventh inning with the same mindset.
Once again, the head coach of the Bismarck softball team, Coach Josh Haggerty, as they get set to take on West County as we close out the tournament on KREI. Coach, best of luck. We'll catch up after.
Thank you.
Get anytime access with Unico Bank's 24-hour banking service. All you need is a touch-tone phone. You can check your current loan balances, check on your last loan payment, get the due date of your next loan payment, transfer funds between accounts current time, as well as check out your account balance. It is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, including holidays. It is easy to use. To find out more, stop at a Unico Bank near you in Potosi, Irondale, or Deloge, or unicobank.com. Unico Bank, homegrown, locally owned, locally operated. For you.
And we are back in contest underway as we hear from the two head coaches between West County and Bismarck. And as we jump into the fray, the first pitch swung on by the leadoff hitter for Bismarck, Bailey Barton, trickles under the glove of the third baseman, and we have our first base runner of the contest with Bailey Barton standing on first, and now we'll see Madeline Walmack, the freshman, the pitch on the way to her, fouled back to the screen. Madeline Walmack aspires to be a professional motocross rider. There's your nugget of truth. Now she's facing an 0-1 count. Pitch on the way from Ricky Lynn Wright. And on the outside corner, strike number two, an 0-2 count on the number two hitter, Madeline Walmack. As Ricky Lynn Wright dealing last night, earning her way back into the circle today, sends one in and inside off the mark for ball one, pushes the count to 1-2. She'll dig back in with a 1-2 count, working against her, a 550 average coming into the tournament. She cuts on this one, fouls it back to the screen, will stay at 1-2, and she'll stay alive, fouling that one back to the screen.
Unlike last game, this game we're going to see pitches come to the plate in the blink of an eye instead of six blinks like we had in Arcadia Valley and Valley Catholic.
They're slow blinker.
They fire.
1-2 pitch on the way, and she had her fooled, pulled the string on that one, got her to chase after it, and strikes out Walmack for the first out of the inning and keeps Barton at first base. That'll bring up Alyssa Sago, the pitcher for Bismarck today, and a ridiculous 807 average coming into the field, and she'll watch the first pitch on the outside edge for a called strike. Ricky Lynn Wright was working ahead of just about every batter she faced last night and is starting off pretty efficient so far today. The 0-1 pitch on the outside corner, called strike. Sago leaves the bat on the shoulder, and watching Ricky Lynn warm up, she has the stuff today, plus. Ahead of the 3-hole, Alyssa Sago awaits the 0-2. It's on the way. A check swing on the outside corner. And an appeal down to the infield umpire. He says no swing, 1-2. No strikeout there. Pushes the count to 1-2 on Sago.
Last night against Valley Catholic, Sago reached base all four times.
That she did. The pitch to her, the 1-2, puts a good swing on it right up through the middle of the infield, and the runners will advance. Sago with a single and keeps the inning rolling right along. Madison DeGaulle will come to the plate. She smashed a 2-run shot yesterday early in the contest. Now she steps to the plate with one down, runners on second and third, and Barton at second, Sago standing at first.
That pitch right there was a case of Ricky Lynn Wright thinking that she had Sago beat on that fastball. So instead of going away from the plate, she keeps it in the zone, and Sago makes her pay for it.
The first pitch to Madison downstairs for ball one. One out already in the inning. That was a strikeout of Madeline Walmack in the two spot. Now runners on first and second. A 1-0 count. Wright brings it to the plate. A swing and a miss. It gets off the glove of the catcher. A foul tip back to the screen. 1-1. Stepping back in the box is DeGaulle, the junior shortstop for Bismarck. The 1-1 pitch to her. Downstairs, 2-1. Our coverage today brought to you by Mineral Area College in Park Hills, Coles Tractor and Equipment of Farmington, and Unico Bank in Potosi, Deloge, and Irondale. The 2-1 pitch on the way. DeGaul deposits this one in foul territory over our right shoulder in the Bird's Nest at the Potosi Sports Complex today.
DeGaul had an excellent first at-bat yesterday with a two-run shot off of Valley Catholic, off of Selena Mueller. And Bismarck never looked behind.
The 2-2 pitch comes in the dirt, gets away from the catcher, and the runners will advance to the next base. Barton down to third. Sago slides up to second, and a 3-2 count with first base open about to come from Ricky Lynn Wright to Madison DeGaulle. With one down in the inning, the 3-2 pitch, a big spot. It's on the way. Chopped to the third base side. Fielded cleanly. The runner will jockey back and forth. And the throw over to first, a little bit delayed, but in plenty of time for the second out of the inning. And the runners held at second and third. So now with two down, Brooke Fitzwater will have an opportunity to drive in some runs. The lefty steps in. Her first plate appearance of the afternoon. The pitch on the way to her. Swing and a miss. Wright rears back for a couple extra on that one. It blows one by for a called strike one. She swings right on through.
Fitzwater had a pretty decent game yesterday as well. She reached base twice by walk, scored a run, and even drove in a run in the later innings.
The 0-1 pitch on the outside corner to the lefty. One ball, one strike. So even up at 1-1. Two down in the inning. Runners at second and third. Here's the pitch from Wright. And a called strike around to the outside. She caught the black on that one. Pushes the count to one ball, two strikes. Ricky Lynn Wright and West County a strike away from keeping Bismarck scoreless in the top half. The pitch on the way on the outside part of the plate. Looking for her to go fishing a little bit. She'll reel that one back in. Two balls, two strikes. Wright takes the ball in her right hand and dusts it off on her britches. West County in the black pants, purple uniforms. Bismarck goes maroon and gray. The 2-2 on the way. A good swing into right center field. Over the head of the right center fielder. One run will come in. Here comes Alyssa Sago to touch the plate. And the stand-up double for Brooke Fitzwater has Bismarck on the board with a two-out, two-run double. 2-0 Bismarck and keeps the inning moving along. We'll see Bradley Henson now come to the plate.
Fitzwater, she's such a tough out because she always makes good swings at the right pitch. And she got the pitch she was looking for. It was in her wheelhouse. She got to uppercut it just slightly and enough to lift it over the center fielder's head. And Bismarck doing what they did against Valley Catholic, jumping out in the first inning, grabbing that lead. We'll see how Sago manages with a lead going into the bottom of the first.
Here's the pitch from Wright. That fastball is fierce.
And to that point, no matter how large a lead, it could remain 2-0. It could be 3-4-0. But either way, Sago's going to have herself a lead when she faced West County for the first time. And, yeah, that fastball's got some juice behind it.
The 0-1 comes through. Swing and a miss. Strike two. The ball gets away from the catcher, Watson. But the runner will not advance.
And Coach Haggerty, not too pleased with that decision by Fitzwater. She's got to get a better read on that ball. The reason they lean out away from the bag when they get ready to run is that they get a good angle at the plate, and Fitzwater just didn't take the chance to move up a bag.
The 0-2 pitch fouled back into the screen by Henson. She'll stay alive there.
Now, wouldn't that be something if softball rules ever changed to where you could feel the ball off the screen behind you?
I've thought about that for a long time. Screen the entire field and just play it off the screen. Be very interesting. The 0-2 on the way. Swing and a miss. And says she gets a piece of it, stays alive as it goes back to the screen.
A la arena football.
Right, definitely.
Those guys can catch it off the netting and score touchdowns that way.
I still come back to the quandary as why is the softball bigger? 0-2 pitch on the way. Chopped over to the third base side, fielded cleanly. The throw over to first in plenty of time for the third out of the inning. Not before two runs come across, one base runner left stranded. The Indians, the early 2-0 lead after the top of the first. On to the bottom of inning number two. We'll see West County step to the plate for the first time. Ricky Lynn Wright, Haley Watson, Erica Barton due up in the bottom of the first next on KREI.
It's a big wide world out there, and to compete in the job market, education is key. But how to get started? Come see us and check out mineralarea.edu. With personal counseling, financial aid options, advising, and tutoring, we'll help you achieve success in your classes and offer opportunities for career planning and placement. Expand your mind, your skills, and your paycheck. Because Mineral Area has got to be your next step.
Okay.
On to the bottom of inning number one, a 2-0 score as Bismarck plates two in the top of the first to get the scoring started. Driving in a couple off of Ricky Lynn Wright. And now we'll see Alyssa Sago. Both of these ladies starting yesterday's matchups that saw Bismarck top Valley 10-3. And very lopsided affair. It took all of 2.5 innings, essentially, for West County to prevail last night. So we'll see how things go. The first pitch from Alyssa Sago swung on and fouled up and over the screen into the crowd for a very wild strike one. Leading off is Ricky Lynn Wright for West County. Pitch to her. She lays down the bunt, rolls foul. That is something that she does do well. She'll just lay down a very soft bunt down that third base side and very fast, as we saw her with the inside the park round tripper yesterday. Now facing the 0-2 count. Here's the pitch. Wright lifts one down the right side, down the line, into foul territory, and the catch is made. Down the right side, just into foul territory. The catch made by Briley Henson.
Sago made it tough on West County last time they faced each other. As you had alluded to earlier, a 6-1 lead for Bismarck. They blew that one, but now they have a chance to redeem themselves down or up 2-0 Bismarck, and that's a good start to get the leadoff batter right, who, as you mentioned, a great inside-the-park home run yesterday.
Here's the first pitch to the two-hole Haley Watson, and just a soft fly ball over the shortstop, fielded cleanly for out number two.
And after last night against Kingston, we're not used to seeing the ball come softly off of the bat of these swingers for West County, and we've seen two lazy pop-ups result in outs.
Now we'll see Erica Barton step to the plate. She crushed a ball last night to enforce that 15-run margin early on. See what she does here with a 1-0 count. Swing and a miss. Sago had her chasing on the outside corner. One ball, one strike.
The thing about Barton is if she gets fooled in her first at-bat, second bat, you can't fool her twice. She will make you pay.
A 1-1. She goes over the top of it softly back to the pitcher. The PFB for the third out. Sago over to first in time, and it's three up, three down for West County in their half of inning number one. We'll go on to the top of the second inning, and Bismarck with a 2-0 lead. We'll see if they can add to that. Cooper, Cole, Campbell all do up next for Bismarck in the top of inning number two, next on KREI.
Having great insurance is, well, great, but knowing who will repair your auto right and quickly is just as important. That's why you should know about Brad Wooten Auto Body. With over 20 years of hands-on experience, Brad Wooten continues to set the standards of excellence. Brad Wooten Auto Body is a direct repair facility, has loaner cars available, and offers you the same factory-trained ASC and ICAR certified technicians you're accustomed to. Now, the award-winning Brad Wooten Auto Body, across from the Ozarks Regional Library in Ironton, soon to be the number one repair facility in Southeast Missouri.
On to the top of inning number two. It was a three up and three down. Bottom of the first for West County. The Indians plating two in the top of the first and lead this contest 2-0 as we make our way into the second inning. MAAA softball on AM 800 KREI brought to you by Brad Wooten Auto Body of Ironton, Potosi Lumber in Potosi, and Fleegs Equipment in St. Genevieve and Ledington. A 2-0 lead for Bismarck as we make it into the top of the second. And coming up, leading off the inning, the seven-hitter, Kendra Cooper, playing third base for Bismarck. The first pitch to her called strike on the outside part of the plate. And Ricky Lynn Wright gets ahead 0-1.
Barton led off the top of the first for Bismarck with a base hit, and Henson looking to do the same here to start another two- or three-run rally.
The outfield straight up as the 0-1 pitch comes in. And in the exact same spot, strike two called on the outside part of the plate on the right-handed hitting Cooper. And she's behind 0-2. Right in the circle. Bringing the 0-2 to the plate. Swing and a miss. Strike number three. Three pitches. and Cooper is done.
Just absolutely filthy from Ricky Lynn Wright. And, you know, I was going to say this about the defense. Physics tells you that when you throw a fastball and the batter squares it up, it's coming back a lot faster. So these defenders are going to have to really be on their toes. It's a swirly wind as well. Outfielders are going to have to be careful out there. Just be very patient with the wind and not let it get into your head.
And a called strike to Peyton Cole as she watches the first pitch go by. Here's the 0-1 pitch from Ricky Lynn Wright, and swinging and missing, chasing a pitch away, is Peyton Cole. Already one out in the inning. This will be the sixth pitch in the inning from Wright. Swing, and this one dribbling over to the second baseman. Minersagan fields it cleanly. Throw over to first in plenty of time to Drennan for the second out of the top of the second. I'll put it down as 4-3 in your book. Two down the inning, six pitches. And on to the number nine hitter for Bismarck, Josie Campbell. The pitch to her on the outside corner, and Wright has been working away from the right-handed hitters and does not get the call there. One ball, no strikes.
Much bigger crowd on hand for this championship game here.
And the second pitch comes through with a little bit extra on it, and the swing and a miss from Josie Campbell. Now one ball, one strike. Wright ready to go. Here's the pitch on the way. Swing and a miss once again. One ball, two strikes. And Ricky Lynn Wright, after getting into a little bit of trouble in the top of the first, has been lights out so far. Here's the 1-2 pitch, and fouled back over to the first base dugout. She'll stay alive with a 1-2.
I noticed this last night. There's not a lot of movement from Josie Campbell in the box. And, yeah, you want to limit the movement, but also when the pitch is about to be delivered, you have to get those hands and front foot going. And she just has that statuesque stance in the box the whole way through.
1-2 on the way outside. And even up at two balls, two strikes, two out, none on.
There's a slight bend of the knee, but that's about it.
The pitch on the way. Fouled off down the right side once again. Two balls, two strikes. So we will try the 2-2 once again as Josie Campbell fighting off a couple from Ricky Lynn Wright to keep the at-bat going. Wright looks in to Watson, winds up. The 2-2 pitch on the way. This one's popped, and this one might get down, and it will. Just a bloop single right into the outfield, just a few steps past the fringe of the grass. And a two-out base hit for the number nine hitter, Josie Campbell. We'll roll back over to the top, and we'll see Bailey Barton have her second at-bat of the afternoon. She singled to lead the game off.
There's two positives. One could possibly be a negative. One positive is you get the number nine hitter on and your leadoff batter up to the dish.
First pitch, foul down the third base side, not a play. Four strike one.
A negative for Bismarck could be that now you have your leadoff batter going, and if she ends up getting out, you're starting with the number two hitter, who's not bad, but she's not Bailey Barton.
We'll see what she can do here with the 0-1 count, trying to extend the inning. The pitch on the way. Going with a little chin music. One ball, one strike. Barton comes into the field with a .667 batting average. Up next is Womack with a .550. And a called strike away from the left-handed hitting Bailey Barton. One ball, two strikes, and Ricky Lynn Wright working the outside part of the plate, left-handed or right-handed hitter. She has gotten there today. The 1-2 pitch on the outside part of the plate, just outside. Barton, a good eye to lay off of that one, evens it up at two balls, two strikes, and one on in Josie Campbell at first. The 2-2 pitch. Called strike on the inside part of the plate. Put it up backwards on Bailey Barton for the third out of the inning. Just one base hit, and Ricky Lynn Wright throws 11 pitches to get out of the top of the second. We will make our way on into the bottom of the second. West County will have another try. They'll go 4, 5, and 6 with Ivy Miners, Sagan, Tristan Martin, and Mackenzie Simile due up in the bottom of the second next on KREI.
It was 1963.
And Fliegs Equipment in St. Genevieve was founded as a family-owned and operated business, where it still remains today.
And in 2016, our second location in Ludington is opened.
Here at Fliegs Equipment, we are known best for selling exceptional equipment such as Case IH, Hustler Turf, Spartan, Vermeer, Cub Cadet, and many more.
Service from the time you enter the door or pick up the phone is taken to heart, because at Fliegs Equipment, we ask that you let our family serve your family.
There are lots of places to get mowers, tractors, and any piece of equipment, but none with the history and longevity of Fleeg's Equipment, a proven company with certified technicians and customer service where you're more than just a number.
Your business is a family tradition to us.
Fleeg's Equipment, Highway 32, St. Genevieve, on the outer service road at Lettington Exit, or online 24/7, Fleegs.com.
Fleeg's Equipment, let our family serve your family.
On to the bottom of the second, Alyssa Sago winding up and bringing it to the plate. This one's fouled back to the screen by Ivy Miner-Sagan. And Sago will have to come almost to home plate to get the softball. A 1-1 count. The leadoff batter in the bottom of the second, the four hitter for West County, Ivy Miner-Sagan. The pitch on the way. Ivy cuts on this one back into the screen, and it'll flip into the infield just a few feet in front of the batter's box. Well, one ball, two strikes on Miner-Sagan. A 444 hitter coming into the tournament. The 1-2 pitch to her. And upstairs, two balls, two strikes, and nobody out of the inning as Miner-Sagan will be leading off here in the bottom of the second. The 2-2 on the way to her on the outside and runs it full. Three balls, two strikes for Ivy Miner-Sagan.
Sago made quick work of the top of the order for West County in the first inning, looking to do the same for the middle of the order.
The pitch on the outside part of the plate, and a six-pitch walk issued to Miner-Sagan to lead things off. And the lead runner on for West County. That's our first base runner of the contest. And we'll see Tristan Martin come to the plate, the right fielder. Had the walk-off base, or the walk-off sack fly in the win for West County over Bismarck earlier this year. Here's the first pitch from Sago to Martin, trying to snag second base. The throw down, it was in time, fell out of the glove. Looked like just closed the mitt a little bit too early as the throw came down to DeGaulle.
Yeah, one of those where you haven't seen many outs at second base on stolen base tries from teams in this tournament, so DeGaulle was probably pretty excited about that throw coming in on time and just misplayed it.
Here's the pitch to Martin. She swings through that one. Sago mixing things up. It was West County the third time through the order started to get to her earlier this year.
Essentially, DeGaulle was trying to apply the tag. She was thinking of the next step in the process without completing the first one.
Thinking touchdown before catch. A 1-1 count on Tristan Martin. Now Cooper creeps up midway towards third and home and looks like they're going to try to trap the runner between second and third, but no one was covering second base. It looked like if they could have snuck Womack from center field down, they might have had a play there. The 1-2 pitch to Martin on the way. She swings at this one, lifts it over the right field, and hanging there and making the play as she camps out under it is Fitzwater. A throw over to third as the runner tries to advance off the mark. The throw would have been in time if it was on point. Miner-Sagan into third base.
You know, I've seen Bismarck twice this year, last night and so far today, and Brooke Fitzwater blows me away. She's really good at home plate. She had that double that scored two runs to put Bismarck ahead 2-0 in this game. And then she makes a really good throw to third, just as you said, a little off target.
Here's a bunt laid down by McKenzie Simile down the left side, and the tag applied to Miner-Sagan as she's trying to come home. And very heads-up play by Alyssa Sago to field the bunt as it headed down the third base side to apply the tag.
And she used every inch of her body to get the tag applied there. As you said, a heads-up play, a runner right in front of her. I think it's a good decision to try to score from third on that, you know, with the ball sort of in no man's land. But Alyssa Sago gets at it and makes a great play.
And with two outs, the runner trying to go down to second base, Ben Barton, the catcher for Bismarck, was ready, popped up out of the crouch very quick, and checked the runner back to first. Now the 1-0 count. Allie Drinnen, the first baseman, steps in. The 1-0 pitch from Alyssa Sago, and now the runner will go. The throw down to second is in time, and the tag didn't get there. The throw just a little bit short, a little short hop right to DeGaulle. And that's two they could have had and do not.
Catching coaches will tell you, when you throw that ball down to second base, get it on the side of the bag where the runner's coming. That one was sort of middle and left, and that's why it took so long for DeGaulle to get that tag applied.
And now you're starting to see even Simile dance around there at second base and just trying to put another thought into Sago's thought process here is what's behind her. Now the 3-0 on the way. And a called strike to Drennan. The get-me-over fastball runs it to 3-1, 2 down in the inning. And a runner standing at second base in Mackenzie Simile.
Keep in mind, Drennan does have one home run on the year.
The 3-1 pitch fouled out of play off the right side. Runs it full, 3-2. The only other 3-2 scenario for Sago so far resulted in a walk to Ivy Minersagen. Minersagen eventually cut down at the plate, trying to score on a little bit of a squeeze. Sago, new softball. Or cleaner, I should say. A 3-2 count. The pitch on the way. Inside and down for 4. And Drennan will head down to first base. Looked like half the folks out there thought it might have been a strike 3 and a fastball, but it was indeed 4.
And I like the way Drennan reacted to that 4 walk. She trotted down to first base, rounded it about 2 or 3 feet off the bag just to see if a throw would be made to second base. There wasn't one, so she went
Whitney
first. Whitney
D hits one into right field, and West County now gets on the board. She'll get safe to first, and Drennan, meanwhile, will trot around second and over to third, and West County, with 2 outs, gets one across, and now a 2-1 contest with Bismarck still out front.
Taking the ball the other way. Most defenses we've seen so far are pretty much straight away. Sometimes with a right-handed hitter, the outfield shifts to the left. That time they go straight away. Ball finds the right place.
And a called strike to Chloe Young. Batting in place of the left fielder, Byers. The 0-1 pitch to Young. And a called strike on the outside part of the plate. Getting ahead early with 2 outs and runners on the corners. Sago and Bismarck are strike away from limiting the West County's offensive output to 1 run. Here's the 0-2 pitch on the way. Swing and a miss, strike 3, and she will do just that. A strikeout to close out the inning. West County will get 1 run across and trims the deficit in half. Bismarck still leading 2-1 after 2 innings, and we will go on into the top of the third and see if Bismarck can continue to have success. Walmack, Sago, DeGaul all due up in the top of the third next on KREI.
The choice of an insurance company is an important one. You want someone to provide you with the best policy, with the best price, and the best service a company possibly can. Welcome home to Missouri Alliance Mutual Insurance Company. Hi, I'm Kim Fisher.
And I'm Chris Schamberg. Missouri Alliance Mutual Insurance Company provides you with the best policy, the best price, and the best service we possibly can.
We are and will continue to be a hometown company with hometown values, servicing insurance needs in Perry County, St. Genevieve County, and in the surrounding areas.
You're at home with Missouri Alliance Mutual Insurance Company. Call our offices today in Perryville at 573-547-6633 or in St. Genevieve at 883-3520 or online at moalllianceins.com.
Into the top of the third, it's a 2-1 game after 2 full innings with Bismarck on top of West County. And West County, the two-time defending conference tournament champions, 12-0 in the past 12 games against Bismarck. The Indians have had West County on the ropes once this year, but the Bulldogs had the last laugh with a walk-off winner. Right now, 2-1 as we go into the top of the third, and Madeline Walmack leading off this inning watches strike one come through. Walmack just a freshman playing big time for the varsity lineup for Bismarck. The 0-1 pitch to her, swings and sends one down the right side, and the base coach over there for Bismarck, pirouetting, and keeping her basically her head on her shoulders on that one.
Well, first of all, she tried to reach out to grab it. That's not smart.
Instincts.
Just get out of the way. Those are my instincts, is just get out of the way and not try to grab it.
So after the foul past the base coach's head, no balls, 2 strikes, the pitch on the way, and a called strike on the outside part of the play gets Madeline Walmack to strike out, looking to lead off the top of the third. Ricky Lynn Wright is shaky first, but she seems to have settled in since.
A little artistry there, painting the outside corner with that one. Nothing Madeline Walmack could do but watch that one fly by.
Now Alyssa Sago singling her first time up. That pitch slipped away from Ricky Lynn Wright. It was about 13 feet high and 5 feet to the left. 1-0 to Sago. One down in the inning. Ricky Lynn Wright in the circle, winds it up, brings it to the plate. and called strike. Evens us up at 1-1 and one out in the inning.
Sago seems like the kind of hitter that's very comfortable with two strikes on her.
The pitch on the way, and heard a little Serena grunt from Ricky Lynn Wright on that one.
He certainly did.
Missed her mark, 2 balls, 1 strike. The 2-1 to Alyssa Sago, outside, 3 balls, 1 strike. Wright looks different. That's the only thing I can say at this point. Something is making her think. The 3-1 pitch sent into right center field. It will hop right in front of the center fielder. Sago trying to turn it into 2. She'll have to slide in a second. She'll get there safely. And Barton trying to appeal to the umpire. And she is shut down. Sago standing at second. They got to keep it clean. They're teammates next year.
I was just about to point that out. One Cardinal sliding into the feet of another. Just in time, Sago reaching second base safely. And this is what Bismarck can do to you. They can, when it seems like all is in control for Ricky Lynn Wright, they just get that hit into the gap and get runners in scoring position quickly.
Brings up DeGaulle with Sago standing at second base, 1 out in the inning. And the Lady Indians with a 2-1 advantage in the top of the third. Wright looks over to the dugout. Now she gets set in the circle, brings it to the plate. And missed the mark on that one. She was trying to go outside again to the right-handed hitting DeGaulle. Doesn't get the call. Now 2 balls, no strikes. The pitch on the way. This one hits softly over to the first base side. Fielded cleanly. It'll be close play at the bag. Sago rounds third wide. Forces the throw into the plate. It comes in clean. And she'll go back to the third base bag. So 2 down. And Brooke Fitzwater will come to the plate with a runner on third and Alyssa Sago.
With the amount of errors that we have seen during this tournament, that's an excellent heads-up play from Sago. Rounding third, making Drennan look her back over to third base, because if Drennan tries to throw it, maybe she throws it wide and Bismarck gets the run. But
the first pitch coming in for a called strike to Brooke Fitzwater.
Smart decision there by Drennan to just stare her back to third base.
No balls, 1 strike. A base hit definitely scores a run here. The pitch on the way. A little bit outside. 1 ball, 1 strike. Sago a few steps towards home plate.
I think we got a little flinch out of the home plate umpire. He might have also started to say the word strike, stopped, and the catcher looking behind her to see what the call is.
1-1 pitch, swing and a miss, and strike 2. Sago and Barton having a little mental battle. She leaves third base, jockeys back and forth, and then heads back to the bag. 1-2, pitch on the way, outside, and a ball. You see much more of the mental side of the game in play with these two on the field.
You certainly do. A change up away with 2 strikes, now probably go hard in if she can.
And she'll lay off and go outside, runs it full, 3-2.
Sometimes pitchers like to double up on that changeup just to see if the hitter gets out in front and looking for a fastball. And we'll see what Wright delivers here.
Full count pitch on the way, and this one is popped up. It's hanging. Coming on is the right fielder to make the play. It pops out of the glove and then right back in. She snares it for the 3rd out of the inning. So holding Bismarck scoreless in the top of the 2nd and the top of the 3rd. West County still trails 2-1. Will they have a chance to respond in the bottom of the 3rd? We will find out up next on KREI.
Your time is precious. With online and mobile banking from Bloomsdale Bank, you can quickly check balances, make payments, transfer funds, and more. All from your smartphone, tablet, or desktop, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Which leaves you with more time to do the things you want. Manage your money with your fingertips. With online and mobile banking from Bloomsdale Bank, connected to our customers since 1914. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Into the bottom of the 3rd, a 2-1 contest so far with Bismarck on top of West County. Alyssa Sago relinquishing 1 run in the bottom of the 2nd. Ricky Lynn Wright seeing 2 runs plated in the top of the 1st. That's all of our scoring so far. Ricky Lynn Wright will lead off this inning. The first pitch she sees sends it down in the right field. This is going to be a problem as it bounced. just a few feet past the first base bag, and it will trickle into foul territory on the right side. Ricky Lynn Wright will round second and get into third with a stand-up lead-off triple to start off the bottom of inning number three, and flashing the speed around the base path, Ricky Lynn Wright, a round tripper inside the park last night, and now the triple to get started in the third.
You kind of knew it right away. As soon as that ball went to right field into foul territory, that was going to be a stand-up triple for Ricky Lynn Wright. She blazes around the base pass and gets herself in scoring position and a chance for West County to tie it up here in the top of the third.
Sago winds and delivers, cut on, fouled back to the screen by Haley Watson.
Beg your pardon, bottom of the third. West County, of course, the home team. Would Ooh. Make sense as being the top seed.
Indeed, indeed. The perennial powerhouse in the spring season. 1-1 pitch from Melissa Sago. This one is hit over to left field, hanging up for the left fielder. She misplayed it, had to stare into the sun. 1-1, real come across. Ricky Lynn Wright touches the plate. We are tied at two. And into second base with a stand-up double. Haley Watson, as that ball just got lost in left field, and Campbell just could not find it.
Yeah, you could tell that she was camped underneath it and then just walked away from it because she couldn't tell where it was. And it'd be smart for them to put sunglasses on or a hat to shade themselves from the sun. That play needs to be made. You have to play errorless baseball against this West County squad.
Erica Barton up for the second time. Softly back to the pitcher.
I'm surprised that they don't call time Bismarck and bring a hat out to Campbell in left field.
The 0-1 pitch to Barton. Downstairs. Ball one. One ball, one strike. No outs in the inning. West County already plating one in the bottom of the third. Tied now at two all. And a runner on second and Watson. The 1-1 pitch to Barton. And she goes after one in the outside corner. Showing a little bit of... She always is showing a little bit of body language after just about every pitch.
She does. And she knows the game and reads the game so very well that sometimes when she thinks she has a read on it and messes up, she's frustrated with herself.
1-2 pitch to her, and she lifts this one back above us. Listen, no, right in front of us. Had there not been a window, might have been able to make the play.
I would have tossed the headset aside and made a, you know, top 10 play right there. Might have fallen on my head. And
it might have been a not top 10. You fell out the window.
Top 10 for the catch, not top 10 for the fall.
One ball, two strike. Pitch to Barton. She'll go after one on the outside corner, and Sago had her chasing. A little bit of frustration after striking out there. 0-for-2 now is Barton, and that is the first down of the inning. Watson stands on second. Minor shaken now, stepping to the plate.
It's a good thing Coach Wright is over in that third base box, because if he was going to try to talk to her and settle her down, she probably wasn't going to have any of it. That one missing inside.
Minor shaken. Her first time up, reaching on a walk. Stole second, sacrificed a third, and thrown out on a... Squeeze, trying to get her home. Minor Sagan watches one come through. It squeezes through the feet of the catcher, and Watson will go from second to third with just one out in the inning, and West County poised to take the lead. The 1-1 pitch on the way inside as Minor Sagan has to squirt the hips back, and it is a called strike on the inside part of the plate. 1-2 on Minor Sagan.
From corner to corner, pretty inconsistent so far today.
The pitch on the way, good cut, and back to the screen.
I mean, inconsistent according to the players.
I refer to that as a chubby strike zone. It's got a little curved edge on her. That's all it is. One ball, two strikes, pitch on the way. And the outside part of the plate, it looked like a similar location as the called strike just a pitch prior. But that one will even us up at two balls, two strikes, one down in the inning, and a runner at third for West County. The pitch on the way. This one jammed in off the hands and fouled back to the screen. Minershagen will stay alive with a 2-2 count. Watson at third represents the go-ahead run. Already one across in the bottom of the third for West County. Sago peers in, shakes off the first signal, nods at the second. The 2-2 pitch fouled back to the screen once again. And Minersagan fouls off the 2-2 pitch for the third time.
This is pretty much the hardest Sago's had to work so far today. Yeah, she gave up a run in the last inning, but it was that run kind of happened a lot faster. It didn't drag on like this one is.
The 2-2 pitch, here it comes. Check swing, down for ball three. Three balls, two strikes. Talking to Sago while she was warming up, you could definitely tell that the pollen, the allergies were getting to her out there today. The full count pitch upstairs, and Meinerseggen earned that walk, fouling off 3-2-2 pitches, and she gets the base on balls.
And she certainly did, and Sago's got to keep her mind strong here. Yes, runners on the corners, but if you get that strikeout, you're setting yourself up to get that third out and keep this game a tie game. Have to have the mentally strong game if you're Sago.
Now Tristan Martin up, and snagging second is Meinerseggen.
It almost becomes a moot point to even talk about a possible double play because those runners are always taking off for second base and always getting in there successfully.
Absolutely, almost every time. The 0-1 pitch coming in. And in on the hand, stepping out of the box was Martin as ball one comes through. One ball, one strike. Runners at second and third behind Alyssa Sago, the pitcher. And here's the 1-1 on the way. Swing and a miss as Martin swings through one. One ball, two strikes. West County tied the game in this inning. Now at 2-2.
There's a little dip on that pitch from Sago. I don't know how she does it, but she does it quite well. And I'd come back with that after that swing and miss.
The 1-2 pitch on the way. On the outside part of the plate, and a called strike on the outside corner. It's caught looking, does Martin, for strike three. Put it up backwards. Mackenzie Simile stepping in with two outs. And runners on second and third for West County. Simile reached on a fielder's choice early. That was the instance where Meinerseggen was tagged out trying to come home. First pitch to Simile. Off the mark, ball one. The 1-0 from Sago. And it looks like this one's down and in, ball two. Simile digs right back in. Sago sets up on the first base side of the circle, brings it in, and called strike, 2-1 now. But to follow up what I was saying earlier, you could really tell that the allergies were bothering her today. So if you can get her to work and start to labor, the breathing is going to be restricted. The 2-1 pitch, swing and a miss by Simile. There's so many different speeds, locations. She changes up elevations, very hard to adjust to. The pitch to her, fouled back to the screen, the 2-2. She'll stay alive, and we'll see another 2-2 pitch to Simile.
You're starting to see the West County hitters keep those hands in. If something's in on the plate, we're taking a swing. We're seeing if we can put it in play. If it's outside, we take it.
Simile, a 237 hitter, the 2-2 to her. And she watches strike three come through, called backwards K's, back-to-back to close out the inning. And it was three strikeouts in the third for Alyssa Sago. We are tied. West County did plate one in the bottom of the third, 2-2 as we make our way into the top of the fourth. Bismarck now not holding on to that lead. We'll see how Alyssa Sago responds. And Ricky Lynn Wright stepping back out into the circle. She's been lights out so far. Will it continue? We'll find out on the other side of this 30-second pause on AM 800 KREI.
Get anytime access with Unico Bank's 24-hour banking service. All you need is a touch-tone phone. You can check your current loan balances, check on your last loan payments, get the due date of your next loan payment, transfer funds between accounts current time, as well as check out your account balance. It is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, including holidays. It is easy to use. To find out more, stop at a Unico Bank near you in Potosi, Irondale, or Deloge, or unicobank.com. Unico Bank, homegrown, locally owned, locally operated. For you.
Into the fourth inning. It is 2-2. Bismarck scoring two runs in the top of the first. West County responds with one in the bottom of the second and the third. And not a sub at 2-2. As we go into the top of the fourth, Ricky Lynn Wright will be back out into the circle for West County. She was shaky to start this contest. Those two runs coming across for Bismarck in the top of inning number one. Since then, she has been pretty solid, facing just seven batters in the second and third inning and striking out three of those seven.
Difference here for Bismarck from last night's game win over Valley Catholic 10-3 is they jumped out early. That was the same, but the difference was they were actually able to add on to that in the early innings. Ricky Lynn Wright has him shut down so far.
A first pitch to Henson, PFP. Ricky Lynn Wright scoops it, throws it, and out number one. That was a quick out.
Certainly was, and after that long inning, you'd think that Bismarck would go up there, take a couple of pitches, but they're so afraid to fall behind in the count 0-2 because Ricky Lynn Wright has so many different options to choose from to get that strikeout.
First pitch to the second batter of the inning, Cooper. Ball one comes inside on the right-handed hitter. And that's what something Coach Haggerty said. We have to be aggressively patient. Jumbo Shrimp. Pitch on the way. One ball, no strikes. And that'll even it up. Ricky Lynn Wright looks over towards the dugout. But aggressively patient. I think they've been either aggressive or patient, not an and just yet. This pitch upstairs. This called strike skips off the catcher's mitt. She reaches up to her right. Skips off of her mitt to the backstop. Called strike. Yes, that's real life. One ball, two strikes, one down in the inning. Ricky Lynn Wright winds and brings it in. Swing and a miss. Strike number three. Cooper goes down swinging to start off the top of the fourth.
This is what Bismarck feared. Ricky Lynn getting into a groove. You had the 2-0 lead. You had a chance to kind of knock her around early on, but she's really stepped up her game in the last 2.5 innings.
Last night, Ricky Lynn faces 11 batters. She struck out 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 of the 11. The 0-1 pitch on the way. Swing and a miss by Peyton Cole.
I don't know what's more impressive, the 8 strikeouts of 11 batters or the fact that she only faced 11 batters.
Right. She's up to 5 Ks already in the 0-2 pitch on the way, and this one fouled off into the screen, and Cole will stay alive, and we'll get to see another 0-2 pitch. But yeah, yesterday, she was just dealing. There were a couple of 5-pitch innings, there were 2 5-pitch innings in just a handful of innings. The 0-2 pitch once again. This one going down off the shoe tops and sending it into center field on the ground for a 2-out base hit. We'll keep the inning rolling along. Peyton Cole now getting down to first base.
This is a very nice hit from Peyton Cole. Not an easy one to keep fair. And she grounds it right past the second baseman. And now you get the 9-hitter coming up. And if she's retired to end this inning, you're right back to Bailey Barton to start the top of the fourth.
The first pitch to Campbell. Swing and a miss. And as you mentioned earlier, not a whole lot of action, not a whole lot of kinetic linking for Campbell's swing. And she'll swing at the second pitch over the top, strike two.
And, Greg, I promise you, one of these days I'll get the inning right. I was referring to Bailey Barton leading off the top of the fifth, not the top of the fourth, because we're in it now.
Swing and a miss. Now we can start thinking about a different part of the inning, as that will close things out for the top of the fourth. A couple of strikeouts there for Ricky Lynn Wright, and we will make our way into the bottom of the fourth. Tied at 2-2, West County will have an opportunity to try and take the lead. We'll see what they can do with Drennan, D, and Young all due up in the bottom of the fourth next on AM 800 KREI.
Having great insurance is, well, great, but knowing who will repair your auto right and quickly is just as important. That's why you should know about Brad Wooten Auto Body. With over 20 years of hands-on experience, Brad Wooten continues to set the standards of excellence. Brad Wooten Auto Body is a direct repair facility, has loaner cars available, and offers you the same factory-trained ASE and ICAR certified technicians you're accustomed to. Now, the award-winning Brad Wooten Auto Body, across from the Ozarks Regional Library in Ironton, soon to be the number one repair facility in Southeast Missouri.
Tied at 2. On into the bottom of the fourth. MAAA Conference Softball Championship game from the Potosi Sports Complex on AM 800 KREI Farmington Park Hills. And into the bottom of inning number 4 for West County, tied at 2-2. It'll be Allie Drennan, the 7-hitter, playing first base to lead off this inning. The pitch from Alyssa Sago on the outside corner for a called strike. Now 0-1 to get things started against Drennan. Sago, dead center of the circle, brings it to the plate. And called strike number 2. 2 pitches, 2 called strikes. As Drennan leaves the bat on the shoulder for both. Starting to see a little bit of the wind blow from right to left. The pitch on the way and lifted towards the shortstop. She'll jockey to her right and make the play for the first out in the bottom of inning number 4 as Drennan flies out to short, and that will bring up Whitney D for West County.
It's very important that Sago eliminate the 7-8-9 hitters in order. You don't want any traffic on the bases when you get to Ricky Lynn Wright.
And this one ripped over to the first base side. And Henson on her toes.
Two pretty easy outs for Bismarck to start this bottom of the fourth.
A swing and a miss for Chloe Young on the first pitch that she sees. So Allie Drennan sees three pitches. Whitney D sees one. This will be pitch number six from Sago. Fouled up and over the bird's nest, likely into the baseball field over our right shoulder. And pushes it to 0-2. Two down already in the inning. Sago brings it to the plate. And inside for ball one. One ball and two strikes on Chloe Young. She struck out her first time up. She sees the 1-2 pitch. Chops it over to the second baseman. Fielded cleanly. The underhand scoop over to Henson in time. And that is a three up and three down for the second time from Alyssa Sago, holding West County off that scoreboard. We'll stay tied at two all after four and make our way into the top of the fifth. Bailey Barton, Madeline Womack, Alyssa Sago due up next for Bismarck on KREI.
You are not one who simply follows the herd. For you, a tractor is a functional tool, not just a color of paint. At Kohl's Tractor and Equipment, we invite you to compare before you buy. Heck, we encourage you. Don't pay those franchise fees. LS, the major brand maker, offers a five-year warranty, the best on the market. Compare the LS tractor to other brands. We know you will find more standard features, including the R4 industrial tire, quick attach loader, skid steer quick attach bucket, dual hydraulic remotes, and much more. Simply put, get more features, the best quality, and the best warranty with lower prices. We know you'll find yourself saving thousands below other major brands. Come see us at Kohl's Tractor and Equipment today, 1 mile east of Farmington on Highway 32. Give us a call at 573-756-4353. You are not one who simply follows the herd. For you, a tractor is a functional tool, not just a color of paint.
Kohl's Tractor and Equipment. Don't just follow the herd, lead the herd.
On to inning number five. We are tied at two all. The MAAA Conference Tournament Championship game between Bismarck and West County on AM 800 KREI from the Potosi Sports Complex. It was a two-run top of the first for Bismarck. They've been held scoreless in the second, third, and fourth. For West County, plating one in the second and the third. It'll be back to the top of the order for Bismarck for Bailey Barton as Ricky Lynn winds up and brings it to the plate, called strike to get things started against Barton. The 0-1 pitch. Ditto, called strike number two.
If I'm not mistaken, Greg, since the top of the first, when Bismarck scored two runs, the only hit coming from Peyton Cole.
We have a hit from Josie Campbell and Alyssa Sago. Other than that, Peyton Cole in the fourth. Not a whole lot. All of those have been erased on the base pass. There's the 1-2 pitch. And Stierike, number three, swing and a miss for Bailey Barton. She goes down looking in the second and goes down swinging in the fifth.
That's why I preface that with, if I'm not mistaken. The likelihood is I would be. But, hey, that's a great strikeout for Ricky Lynn Wright. Barton out on her front foot, something we haven't seen from her in the box this MAAA Conference Tournament. Good pitch from Wright.
It was her seventh strikeout so far. And the first out in the top of the fifth. And Madeline Womack now at the dish. She's 0-for-2 with two strikeouts. The 1-0 pitch. She swings at this one, fouls it off down the right side, and well out of play.
Right next to the Potosi baseball bullpen. I'm sure used for the visitors.
Now with a 1-1 count, here's the pitch. Swing and a miss, strike two. And I was down there talking to Coach Wright while the first game was going on. I was watching Ricky Lynn warm up, and I wouldn't stand in the batter's box because I don't think I could hit a rise ball. 1-2 pitch on the way, and definitely not the rise ball there as this one skips a few feet in front of home plate in the dirt and rolls off to the right. Now two balls, two strikes. I asked C.J. Ryan, I said, can you hit a rise ball? He said, took me six tries. The 2-2 pitch on the way. Inside, runs it full, three balls, two strikes. See if she can come back and skip one off the catcher's mitt in the strike zone again. Three
Stop
balls,
it.
Two strikes, one out. I'm just here so I don't get fined. And the pitch upstairs off the mark and working the walk. Madeline Womack, the freshman, has a good eye, I'll tell you.
Number 22. Yeah, she certainly does.
She gets fooled her first two plate appearances. She learned from those and works the walk in the third. Oh, runner on after the walk. In Womack at first brings up Alyssa Sago. The first pitch comes through, called strike. And again, getting ahead of these hitters has been the bread and butter for Ricky Lynn Wright so far. Now looking at the 0-1 count, but Bismarck has been able to battle back several times so far. The 0-1 pitch to Sago. She tries to go off the shoe tops, went chasing after one down, and did not get there.
An opportunity for Sago to help herself out. Didn't necessarily have to hit one over the fence, but put one in the gap, put one on the ground, threw a hole somewhere, and get runners in scoring position.
Facing the 0-2, pitch on the way, and she'll put a ride into this one over to the right fielder. She's camping out under it, makes the play, and it will keep Walmack at first base. And Alyssa Sago goes down with a pop out to right field.
Yeah, Sago just hasn't been able to figure out Ricky Lynn Wright too well in today's ball game, and she put at least she put the ball in play. You never know what's going to happen defensively for these teams.
The goal at the plate with two outs, swing and a miss, going with the change, pitching backwards with two outs in the inning. Ricky Lynn Wright getting ahead of yet another Bismarck batter. She looks towards the dugout. Gets the instructions from head coach C.J. Wright in his third year. The 0-1 pitch on the way, fouled off down the right side and off the top of the dugout, out of play for strike two.
Pretty quiet afternoon for Dugall after an impressive game yesterday against Valley Catholic, of course, as we've mentioned, with that first inning two-run home run.
The 0-2 pitch on the way. And called strike three on the outside corner. The catcher wasn't even sure, made the pickoff throw down to first, but it is indeed called strike three and the eighth strikeout of the contest for Ricky Lynn Wright. We stay at 2-2 and go into the bottom of the fifth. And West County will be due up with the top of the order. Ricky Lynn Wright, Haley Watson, and Erica Barton step to the plate in the bottom of the fifth. Up next on KREI.
It's a big wide world out there, and to compete in the job market, education is key. But how to get started? Come CES and check out mineralarea.edu. With personal counseling, financial aid options, advising, and tutoring, we'll help you achieve success in your classes and offer opportunities for career planning and placement. Expand your mind, your skills, and your paycheck. Because Mineral Area has got to be your next step.
Knotted up at 2-2 between Bismarck and West County. Championship of the MAAA Conference on the line. The tournament starting yesterday. This is the final game of the contest. And over the past few years in the spring season, West County has dominated the spring season. Stats show it. They'll tell you pragmatically. 12-0 against Bismarck, back-to-back conference champions, back-to-back Final Four appearances, and hoping to do the same this year. But Bismarck has other ideas with this game knotted up at 2-2. Into the bottom of the fifth.
So what you're saying is you've been around a while.
No, I just took good notes.
Oh, okay.
For the most part.
You're a good note taker.
No, I didn't take any notes. I just remember stuff and say it confidently. The pitch on the way. Chopped back into the screen. Heads up now. Ricky Lynn Wright fouls the first pitch. Back into the catch fence. Now an 0-1 count. The 0-1 pitch on the way, and ducking out of the way, evens it up at one ball, one strike on Ricky Lynn Wright. For Alyssa Sago, comes back with the heat on the outside corner, and now one ball, two strikes. Here's the pitch. This one is lifted onto our roof. And it rolled off, it sounds like, the backside of the press box at the sports complex. Now one ball, two strikes. Wright's fouled a couple of them off. Sago winds and delivers, and just a stay-alive kind of swing in on the hands of Ricky Lynn Wright. She kind of leans over, pushes the hips back, and chops one back to the screen on the right side.
Of the pitcher v. pitcher battle, it seems like Ricky Lynn Wright has a better read on Sago.
And here's one sent into left field. It will hop right in front of the left fielder. Ricky Lynn Wright, a wide, wide turn around. First hesitates. Whites for the throw to come in. Sees it's off the mark and goes ahead and takes second in the process.
You got to keep that ball lower. You really do. You have to not only keep it lower, but you have to get it to your cutoff person. And the left fielder just didn't do that. Campbell throwing it over the head of her shortstop.
Yeah, things kind of went awry for Campbell as that one hopped right in front of her shoes and tried to play it off the ground. The high hop bobbled it, dropped it, finally got it back in, not before Wright Turned a single into a double. Here's the pitch on the way. Alyssa Sago hits one to the catcher. It falls out of her mitt. And Ricky Lynn Wright, a bolt of lightning from second down to third.
I was just about to talk about the defensive alignment. Bismarck had their third baseman creep in by about 15 feet. The shortstop almost in a vertical line stand behind her to cover third on any case that they might throw it down there. And, of course, when the ball goes in the dirt, Ricky Lynn takes off.
So far, Ricky Lynn Wright pops out, triples and doubles, and steals third base. Here's the pitch to Watson, the 1-1. And it goes downstairs, two balls, one strike. And Wright has really been a factor on the base pass so far, touching home plate one time already. Here is a pitch sent back over to the shortstop. It will score the go-ahead run. And the throw over to first gets away from Henson and will allow Watson to round first and get down to second. So an error allows the runner to go down to second base. The run would have scored regardless. Ricky Lynn Wright setting her team up quite well, and Watson making the most of that situation.
There was a moment last night against Valley Catholic. Bismarck's Henson at first base dropped a pretty good throw over to first base. Sort of same situation, had to stretch out and reach for it, but that's something as a first baseman you have to reel in, and we talked about it. You have to play errorless baseball against West County, and right now Bismarck making a couple of blunders here in this inning.
That they are. They're now trailing it 3-2. Erica Barton at the plate. So far, Barton grounds back to the pitcher and strikes out. Here's the 1-0 pitch to her. That one just off the mark. Two balls, no strikes. And Watson down at second base for West County. Still no outs in this inning. Coverage brought to you by Bloomsdale Bank in St. Genevieve and Coles Tractor and Equipment in Farmington. The 2-0 pitch, a called strike. Two balls, one strike to Erica Barton with nobody out in the inning.
Home plate umpire keeping everybody on their toes.
An interesting strike call. 2-1 on the way. Barton gets all of this one. It one hops to the center fielder. Watson goes to third. Barton a wide turnaround first, and she'll jockey back and forth. And Sago just walks out to the circle. It's like Barton's like, oh, yeah, she can throw over here. I should go back.
Right. Yeah, Barton, you were waiting for that moment where she finally figured out Sago, finally looking for that pitch that she really wanted, and she got it, and she blistered it into center field. And West County, they're on the teetering point of blowing this one open.
Here's Ivy Miner second. Barton's going to go ahead and snag second base. Nobody covering as that one comes through for ball number one. And now runners at second and third for West County. Watson at third. Barton at second. The pitch to Miner second inside. And runs it to two balls, no strikes. So far for Miner second on the day, working two walks on base, both plate appearances. Here's the 2-0 tour. And on the outside corner, ball three, question mark? Yes. Miner Sagan digs back in, looking for her third walk of the afternoon. The 3-0 pitch and a called strike in the outside part of the plate away from the right-handed hitter, Miner Sagan.
Still nobody out in this inning, Greg. Runners at second and third and a one-run lead for West County. Dangerous times for Bismarck.
The 3-1 on the way. And it is a five-pitch walk for Ivy Miner second. Her third walk of the game already. And now the bases chock full.
Right fielder.
Alyssa Sago is throwing up some signals with her right arm, turning around to her infield and her outfield. I've never really seen that from a pitcher.
Four fingers. Here's the pitch. Cut on and back to the screen for Tristan Martin. The only thing that I noticed is left and center came up about five or six steps, and now they're playing straight up.
So I wonder if that's a call from the bench or if Sago's just really good at knowing where she wants her defense to be played.
Martin, a big opportunity here. No outs. Bases loaded. The pitch is a ball. One ball, one strike on Tristan Martin. Martin, a sack fly in the second and a strikeout in the third. Facing a 1-1 count. No outs. Bases loaded. Pitch on the way. She'll chop this one back to Sago. Off of the glove. It's going to be a tough play, and they're not going to get it out anywhere as Henson wasn't standing on the first base bag. Sago fields it and waves her back, and no play can be made. One run will come across, and just a miscommunication on the infield. Now Sago will wave everybody in to have a discussion.
even if Henson was on the bag, you're talking about a pitcher that has her back turned to the play. She's picking up the ball with her glove, not her bare hand. It would have been essentially a backhand toss while leaning towards center field. So I think it was wise for Sago to just hold on. You'd still like to have Henson on first with that option available, but Sago eating it is the right decision there, because if she throws that one away, West County is up by 3 instead of by 2.
You got to wonder, though, if Henson's just on the bag, just a small toss. It was just a few feet. It would have been close at the very least. It's 3 licks to the center of a Tootsie Pop. The world may never know. Bases stay loaded. Score now 4-2. West County doubling up Bismarck. Plating 2 here in the bottom of the 5th. Still no outs, and the bases are full. Sago winds and delivers. Simile fouls one back into the screen and falls behind 0-1. MAAA softball brought to you by Potosi Lumber of Potosi, Fleegs Equipment in St. Genevieve and Ledington, and Bloomsdale Bank of St. Genevieve. The 0-1 count on Simile. Now she'll show bunt. She lays it down right in front of home plate and rolls foul just a few inches foul. And Barton collides with Barton, and Barton acknowledges sportsmanship to Barton. Erica Barton running from third for West County. The catcher, Barton, for Bismarck.
And it's a good thing it went foul, because that would have been an easy tag out.
The 0-2 pitch on the way. Simile fouls it back to the screen, and she'll get another 0-2 pitch. Bases indeed are full. We have Erica Barton at third, Ivy Meinersagen standing at second, and Tristan Martin at first base. The infield way in for Bismarck. The 0-2. Swing and a miss, and strikeout of Simile for the first out of the inning, and that makes the situation much easier to manage for Alyssa Sago and Bismarck.
It certainly does, and Sago's going to have to get a pair of strikeouts here to wrap up the inning, because it seems like any ball that's in play right now from West County finds its way into a space where no one's occupying it defensively.
Drennan comes up with one down and the base pass full. Strike one, the first pitch to her. Sago ready to go, brings it to the plate, and called strike on the inside part on Drennan. And now you're starting to see the crowd confused a little bit
right about
the called strikes. No balls, 2 strikes, a little murmur out of the West County faithful. Drennan back in the box. Sago delivers. Chopped with the axe handle swing. Over to short. The throw. Home. Not in time. It gets away. One run. Barton touches home plate on the slide. Martin comes in to score. Or beg your pardon, Meinersagen comes in to score. And Martin, a slow trot home. And
ball went into the
ball
dugout.
Went into the dugout. So that will result in 3. And all the way around to third is Allie Drennan. So clearing the bases as that one thrown into the dugout. A 4 spot in the bottom of the 5th. Now 6-2 in favor of West County. What a way for things to unravel out there for Bismarck and Sago.
Well, we're waiting to add that third run because the umpires are talking to each other.
And it looks like they're just going to move Drennan back to second base.
Okay, so the run will count. So it's a 5-run advantage for West County.
So 7-2 as the crooked number is up. Just 1 out in the inning and 5 runs coming across for West County in this bottom of the 5th. Now 7-2.
The sun is literally coming down and figuratively kind of, you know, going into a little darkness for Bismarck's chances to make this comeback, especially if this lead continues to grow.
There's a pitch on the way to Whitney D. And called strike on the first pitch to her. Now 0-1, one out, runner at second, and Allie Drennan. Sago winds and delivers. This one chopped right back to the pitcher. She fields it cleanly, throw her to first in time for the second out of the inning. A wide turnaround third is Drennan. And you got to wonder how much is Sago and Henson wanting that play back. They could have probably had that out at first.
You can't play the it happened in the past, what could we do about it game. You got to play in the now.
Young swings at the first pitch. She'll see fielded in the circle by Sago. The throw over to first is in. Plenty of time for out number 3, but West County does some damage in the bottom of the 5th. A 5 spot in the bottom half of the inning. Now up 7-2 as we make our way into the top of inning number 6. Fitzwater, Henson, Cooper due up next for Bismarck. They've got some ground to cover. We'll be back on the other side of this timeout on AM 800 KREI.
The choice of an insurance company is an important one. You want someone to provide you with the best policy, with the best price, and the best service a company possibly can. Welcome home to Missouri Alliance Mutual Insurance Company. Hi, I'm Kim Fisher.
And I'm Chris Schamberg. Missouri Alliance Mutual Insurance Company provides you with the best policy, the best price, and the best service we possibly can.
We are and will continue to be a hometown company with hometown values, servicing insurance needs in Perry County, St. Genevieve County, and in the surrounding areas.
You're at home with Missouri Alliance Mutual Insurance Company. Call our office today in Perryville at 573-547-6633 or in St. Genevieve at 883-3520 or online at moalllianceins.com.
Into the sixth inning, a 7-2 score with West County out front, breaking the tie in the bottom of the fifth, putting up a five spot in the bottom half to take this 7-2 lead into the sixth inning. And for Bismarck, they've got work to do. And the first pitch for Brooke Fitzwater, the left-handed hitter, fouls one off down the first base side, now to play.
Fitzwater's about the only player for Bismarck to have a pretty good game today.
It's been decent so far for Bismarck, just unable to string anything together since a good start early on. There's the pitch to Fitzwater. And away from the left-handed hitter for a called strike. Fitzwater doubling early. Fly out in the second. And now facing the 0-2 count. The pitch on the way from right. A swing and a miss. And she strikes her out to get things started in the sixth. And that is strikeout number 9 for Ricky Lynn.
Fitzwater clearly frustrated as she walked back to the dugout, tried to toss the bat to the next batter and kind of threw it to her left and just didn't really care, just threw it and went into the dugout to see if Henson could get something going for Bismarck.
And the first pitch to Henson fouled back to the backstop or strike one. Already one down the inning. Ricky Lynn in the circle for West County has been locked in. After allowing two in the first, the pitch on the way on the inside part of the plate called for a ball. One ball, one strike, and one out in this inning. As Wright works against Riley Henson. This one bounces in the dirt right in front of the batter's box. Two balls, one strike so far in the afternoon for Henson. A ground out, back to the pitcher, and a strikeout. She swings through the 2-1.
Got to start choking up and looking for those pitches in on the plate and try to get some good swings there.
Chops this one foul right down into the batter's box. She'll get another 2-2 pitch. It's about the most that Wright has had to work in basically since the top of the first.
Been pretty smooth sailing for her since that inning.
The 2-2 sent in and softly over to first, fielded cleanly by Drennan for the second out of the inning, lined right to her quite softly, and Bismarck just can't square up what's coming out of the hands of Wright so far this afternoon.
It's amazing just how you can give up two runs in a half inning, not look great. Bismarck offense looks fantastic, and then they just put up goose eggs the rest of the way. It's Ricky Lynn Wright is a really good pitcher for West County. That's an understatement.
And West County defense leisurely straight up behind her. This pitch is fouled up and off of the hands of Kendra Cooper. Left to right in the outfield, it goes Byers, Simile Martin, and around the horn from Wright to Watson at first Drennan. Ivy Meinerzegen at second, Barton at short, and D playing third base. And the 1-2 pitch comes through, or the 1-1 pitch comes through, beg your pardon, and swing and a miss from Kendra Cooper, the 7 hitter. And Cooper today 0-2 with a pair of strikeouts, and now she'll step back into the box facing a 1-2 count. Wright winds up, brings it to the plate, and it's off on the outside part of the plate for ball two. Evens us up at two balls, two strikes, and two down already in the top of the sixth. She digs back in. Wright brings it to the plate. This one jammed up in on the hands and fouled off towards the dugout. Wright tries to make the play from the circle, has to cover about 60 feet, and just ran out of real estate.
You like the hustle, but at the same time, if you're Coach Wright, you kind of don't want to see that, because what happens if you get your foot stuck in the ground and twist that ankle? You're out the rest of the game, and they need her for the districts for sure.
The 2-2 pitch sent into left field for a base hit. It will drop in front of the left fielder Byers. She'll get it back to the infield, but a two-out base hit for Kendra Cooper, her first time on the base pass so far today.
Another case of not getting a lot of contact on the ball, but just placing it right over the shortstop's head in front of the left fielder. We'll see if that Cooper base hit gets things going for Cole.
Here's Peyton Cole, the eighth spot in the lineup. 1-for-2 so far with a ground out and a single. Called strike one, the first pitch to her. Wright working pretty quickly, not as quick as she was last night, but ready to bring it in. Here's the 0-1, and going down to get it off the shoe tops into foul territory down the right side, and the play is made in foul territory. Just steps away from the dugout. Drennan reels it in for the third out of this inning. Only one base hit and four batters faced that time for Ricky Lynn Wright, and another goose egg goes on the board for Bismarck. 7-2, West County leading the contest. Go back to the top of the order and the bottom of the sixth next on KREI.
It was 1963.
And Fleeg's Equipment in St. Genevieve was founded as a family-owned and operated business, where it still remains today.
And in 2016, our second location in Ludington is opened.
Here at Fleeg's Equipment, we are known best for selling exceptional equipment such as Case IH, Hustler Turf, Spartan, Vermeer, Cub Cadet, and many more.
Service from the time you enter the door or pick up the phone is taken to heart, because at Fleeg's Equipment, we ask that you let our family serve your family.
There are lots of places to get mowers, tractors, and any piece of equipment, but none with the history and longevity of Fleeg's Equipment, a proven company with certified technicians and customer service where you're more than just a number.
Your business is a family tradition to us.
Fleeg's Equipment, Highway 32, St. Genevieve, on the outer service road at Ledington Exit, or online 24/7, fleegs.com.
Fleeg's Equipment, let our family serve your family.
On to the bottom of the sixth, the 7-2 advantage for West County, plating five in the bottom of the fifth to take that 7-2 advantage, holding Bismarck scoreless in the top of the sixth and trying to extend their five-run advantage with Ricky Lynn Wright leading off the bottom of the sixth inning.
You wouldn't have expected it for this matchup, but West County, a five spot here in the bottom half, ends the game.
A 2-1 pitch sent down the left side over the glove of the third baseman, Cooper. Right, a quick turnaround first and into second easily. She has to, if a ball just gets to an outfielder, she is turning it into a double.
Yeah, no kidding. And that should actually be an error, because that was right in front of the third baseman there for Bismarck. And Cooper's got to come up with that play. And we've mentioned it two or three times now. You have to play error-free baseball against West County, otherwise you are going to lose.
Absolutely. You cannot make a mistake. They will magnify that mistake, and they will remind you about that mistake. A 1-0 count on the two spot in the lineup. Watson, the pitch to her, fouled back to the screen, and Wright will have to head back to second base. After that, I think she's going to be eager to head down to third. Looks like she was headed regardless.
And we go back with that third baseman in, shortstop behind the third baseman by about 10 feet to cover that bag.
Pitch on the way and fouled back to the screen once again. It looked like Watson, she's seeing it coming in. She's just a little bit off the mark. She'll dig back in with a 1-2. Massive gap up the middle of the infield. A pitch on the way. And this one outside, ball two. Count now, two balls, two strikes. Or the two spot in the lineup for West County, Haley Watson, Ricky Lynn Wright, standing at second base. The pitch on the way. Inside, gets away from the catcher, and Wright will come down to third, and a wide turn around third. And Sago thought about probably just wanted to fake that throw over to third to get Wright back to the bag.
Yeah, Sago wasn't going to throw that. She knows better. She's at that stage where she pretty much understands the game 100%.
3-2 pitch coming into Watson. She'll swing at it out of play over the left side and into the walking area and the grass between the two fields. So we'll try the full count pitch once again with Ricky Lynn Wright standing at third. West County up 7-2, and a full count sent to come to Watson. Sago brings it to the plate. pops this one up, and it looks like it's going to trail just out of play and into the stands. It almost hit Matthew Williams.
And I think Coach Bosler for Valley Catholic is here as well, and he didn't make an effort.
Oh, that's what he said when he was up here after the interview. So I'm going to sit up here. You guys got a nice view. It's not too bad up here. Stepping back in, another full count pitch. Here it comes. And back to the screen. She is battling against Sago and definitely making her labor in the circle. So we'll see the third 3-2 pitch come to Watson.
I'm assuming Sago's not getting paid for this, huh?
Negative. Pitch on the way. And fouled out of play once again. That one, she was way early and still got a piece of it in on the hands a little bit. And fights off yet another 3-2 pitch. So we'll see our fourth 3-2 pitch.
That's what West County has really done quite well today. Fighting. Fighting, fighting, and fighting. And Sago just gets more and more tired, more aggravated. Balls get put in play. Errors are made. And West County just proving that they're the top dog in this conference.
And earlier this year, talking to Erica Barton on one of the post games after beating Bismarck, she said, well, the third time through the lineup, we kind of figured out a pattern a little bit or kind of expected a certain selection of pitches. It seems like they haven't forgotten as Watson sends one in the left center field gap. It'll one hop to the wall. Wright will come in to score easily and into second with a stand-up double is Haley Watson. And now 8-2 in favor of West County, and this lineup is just too potent throughout this tournament.
It certainly is, and when you fight with two strikes and you make the pitcher work, the pitcher's going to try something different, something that they're uncomfortable with, because what they are comfortable with, you keep fighting off. And so what does Watson do? She just waits for that one mistake from Sago and then deposits it into left field for another run.
And now Erica Barton steps to the plate. Pinch runner at second base is Cedar King. Sago with the 0-1 count on Barton.
And now you've got to deal with Erica Barton. That's just not fair.
The pitch to Barton fouled off down the right side, and she'll fall behind 0-2. So far, Barton grounding back to the pitcher in the first, struck out in the third, singled in the fifth, and came around to score. She'll step back in, facing the 0-2. The pitch on the way. This one popped up over to the right and into the bleachers. We saw that almost maybe never yesterday.
Never.
And five or six times.
We did have this one. We did have a baseball come over from the baseball field and land in the stands. But
it is true.
That was it.
Barton back in with the 0-2. Sago shakes off the first sign, nods at the second, brings in the 0-2, and this one is lifted into a short infield pop-up. Barton will be safe as this one drops just a few feet beyond the circle straight over the head of Sago. It never went that high, just high enough to clear Sago and drop in.
A lot of spin on that pitch from Sago trying to get Barton out in front of an off-speed pitch, and Barton just hung tight with it. And as you said, one of those unusual little pop-ups where it's impossible for the pitcher to get because she's had so much momentum carrying her forward in front of the circle, and with the wide defense, it's impossible to get to that ball.
Now Miner Sagan back in, swings at the first pitch, she sees, fouls it out of play. Guy walking in foul territory did not know and almost caught him right in the face. Quite the reaction. It will go down as strike one, now at 0-1 count on Miner Sagan. Miner Sagan, three walks and representing one run so far. Facing the 0-1, the pitch on the way to her, and inside, skips away from the catcher. Barton will go back to the first base bag. Runners on the corners and still no outs. Already one across in the bottom of the sixth. Now 8-2 in favor of West County. Miner Sagan back in the box. The 1-1 pitch. And it's a called strike. 1-2, and Barton will go down to second. No throw down there.
West County's another base hit away from double-digit runs.
The pitch on the way. And this one into the right center gap. Will it get down? It will. Right over the outstretched glove of Fitzwater. One run will score. Barton rounds third. She's coming in to score. And it is 10-2. And getting all the way to third base is Ivy Miners taking her first base hit. The fourth time she's on the base pass. And this time she drives in a pair and ends up at third.
Miner Sagan, just have yourself a good game. Why don't you?
She
took that pitch where it was outside. It had a little rise to it. She put it into right center field and just out of the reach, as you said, of Fitzwater for another two runs. And West County is looking pretty good right now.
Up by 8 at 10-2. Tristan Martin stepping in.
If Martin puts a hold on this one.
C'est la vie. Pitch exactly. On the way. Martin sends it over to shortstop. Fielded cleanly. The throw over to first. The stretch by Henson in time. The run will come in from third in Miner Sagan, and that will make it 11-2. So the margin is now at 9. And we are in to the bottom of inning number 6. So the sack from Tristan Martin gets one in and now brings Simile to the plate.
And, you know, Sago, she really hasn't pitched a poor game. West County just knows how to battle, knows how to hit the ball in the right spots, and they're just a really solid team.
The 1-0 upstairs, chin level to Simile. She arches her back, leans out of the way, and ball two, now 2-0. And so far, just this inning, single, double, single, triple, sacrifice. And another base hit as this one's going to drop in front of the right fielder. And Simile squares one up, sends it into right field. And she'll get down to first base easily with one out. West County is starting it all over once again. Allie Drennan walked, popped out, and doubled so far today. And was a part of that three-run base-clearing throw into the dugout by Bismarck. The first pitch she'll see swings through it, and Simile will fly down to second base. No throw comes out.
That was a hit-and-run designed. Out in front of her front foot was Allie Drennan. That's why she came up empty. Sago taking some speed off of that pitch.
Here's the 0-1 pitch to Drennan, and it gets away from the catcher once again, and Simile will slide down to third. So now, 11-2, the margin is currently 9, one down in the inning, and your 10-run rule is standing at third base in Simile. Drennan steps back into the box. She'll be facing a 1-1 count with one down in this inning, and Sago in trouble. Here's the pitch. This one chopped back to the pitcher. She'll check back to third. Now the throw over to third, and they're going to snag Simile, trying to come home, jockeying back and forth, and meanwhile, Drennan will meander all the way to second base, but that makes the situation much easier now with two down, the margin at 9, and they chomp down the runner at third in Simile.
Great play, Sago. Can't say much about it. Looked her back twice. Got it to her third baseman, got the out.
And that brings up, with two outs, the third baseman, Whitney D. She'll swing at the first pitch she sees. Strike one. The 0-1 pitch from Sago. Down and in. Off the mark, one ball, one strike at 11-2 in the bottom of the sixth. 9 runs so far in the fifth and the sixth, and we are still going with two out. The pitch on the way, and on the outside part of the plate, it's a ball. Two balls, one strike.
The only thing Bismarck did wrong in that play was they didn't get that throw to second base.
2-1 pitch comes in, called strike on the inside part of the plate, 2-2.
They didn't finish the job, essentially. Yes, you got the lead runner at third, but you have to be alert and look to see where the runner is around first.
The 2-2 on the inside part of the plate, a called strike, and going down looking is Whitney D. for the third out of the inning, but not before a 4-spot gets put up by West County. They go 5 runs in the bottom of the fifth and 4 more in the bottom of the sixth. They lead it 11-2. We'll go into the top of inning number 7, and Bismarck has a lot of work to do. Will they rally? Will West County win their third conference tournament? We'll find out on the other side of this 30-second pause on AM 800 KREI.
Your time is precious. With online and mobile banking from Bloomsdale Bank, you can quickly check balances, make payments, transfer funds, and more. All from your smartphone, tablet, or desktop, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Which leaves you with more time to do the things you want. Manage your money with your fingertips. With online and mobile banking from Bloomsdale Bank, connected to our customers since 1914. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
into the seventh inning, an 11-2 score, a 9-run margin. And it all happened in the bottom of the fifth and the bottom of the sixth as West County plates 5 in the bottom of the fifth, 6, or 4 runs in the bottom of the sixth to go up 11-2 and nearly ended this one in the sixth. We'll go into inning number 7, and Bismarck will have their final opportunity to get back into this one, and it did not start off well, as leading off in this inning is Whitney Lands in place of Josie Campbell in the 9 spot. The 0-1 pitch to Lands. She'll chop one down the first base side and foul as it rolls on the right side of the line, and she'll fall behind 0-2.
Lands got the start in the 9 hole last night, now coming on as a pinch hitter.
And the pitch to her on the 0-2 comes down at her shoe tops. 1-2 on the pinch hitter Lands. Wright looks towards the dugout. Now gets set dead center of the circle. Winds up, brings it to the plate. Inside, 2. 2-2. Wright again glancing to the dugout, cleans the softball off on her jersey. And the slide step, bring it to the plate, and 3, swinging and missing for the first out of the inning. Whitney Lands as the pinch hitter to get things started. Strikes out to get it started.
Coach Haggerty doesn't put Lands in a great spot. Pinch hitting her against Ricky Lynn Wright, who's been in rhythm since giving up 2 runs in the first inning, hasn't given up anything since.
And this one sent right back to Ricky Lynn Wright. Hits off of a glove. Minersagan trying to make the scoop and the throw. It will not be in time. And Bailey Barton with 1 out gets on for Bismarck in the top of the 7th. Well, that starts the party. You got a lot to do.
Yeah, Martin's pretty agile there in the circle. She's also a go-getter, as we witnessed on a pop-up foul towards the Bismarck dugout that she came out of the circle and chased down and almost got to it in time. So she's willing to risk it to try to get those outs.
Madeline Walmack at the plate watches 1 come through. 1 out in the top of the 7th and 1 on. The pitch to Walmack. She slides back out of the box as this one comes down at her feet. Now 2-0. And Bismarck with 1 out, trailing by 9 in the 7th. Got a lot to do. The pitch on the way. Swing and a miss. 2-2 on Walmack. Walmack struck out in the first and the third and walked in the 5th. Ricky Lynn Wright sitting at 10 strikeouts today. And here's the pitch. Upstairs, off the mark that time from Wright. And now Barton in a good position here.
Haven't seen too many 3-ball counts from Ricky Lynn Wright.
And the pitch on the way. And on 3-1, she works the walk, does Walmack. So after striking out in the first and the third, works a walk in the 5th and the 7th. Mind you, just a freshman. Those mid-game adjustments are not something that develops easy. It seems like she has it figured out early on. So now Sago trying to support her own cause, with 2-1, 1 out, working against Ricky Lynn Wright, who has only allowed the 2 runs, and that came in the top of the 1st. Since then, goose eggs. The pitch to Sago. Called strike on the outside part of the plate. 0-1. Now the 0-1 pitch. Wright spins the softball. Now starts the windup, brings it to the plate, and comes way inside on Sago. She has to swirl out of the way. And two future collegiate athletes here. Sago headed to Mack, right to John A. Logan. The 1-1 pitch. Fouled off down the right side and out of play for 2. Now 1-2. We are into the top of the 7th. It's 11-2 in favor of West County trying to finish here. Bismarck trying to put the string of hits together to get back into this one. They've got a lot to do, down by 9 at 11-2. Runners on first and second. Alyssa Sago at the plate, and the 1-2 on the way. She'll chop this one to third, and it falls out of the glove at third. She'll recover and tag the bag over that third for the force, and there is 2 down, the FC for Alyssa Sago, and down to the final out as Madison DeGaulle comes to the plate, and she is 0-2, the fielder's choice.
Bailey Barton, a late jump, didn't get a great read on that ground ball to third, but with a runner behind you, you know that the force play is at third base. You have to take off as soon as you see contact.
The pitch, swing and a miss on the first one, and it is an 0-1 count to Madison DeGaulle with two down already in this inning and out away from claiming their third spring conference championship in a row. The pitch from Ricky Lynn Wright chopped down into the box, and now falling behind 0-2 is DeGaulle. Crowd has quieted down, awaiting the conclusion or the rally. What will we see? The 0-2 pitch from Wright. This one off the hands. DeGaulle into right field, and now rounding first is Womack. The throw into home, sliding under the tag safely is Womack, and runners on the corners with two out. DeGaulle keeps the rally alive.
Pretty good to get out to a 2-0 lead in the top of the first. It's pretty good to score a run in the seventh, but when you're behind this big, it's the innings in between that you really need to add on to your score. Even if it's one, two, or three runs, you have to just for confidence sake. Bismarck unable to do that, but, hey, that's a good hit right there. Two out rallies. We've seen plenty of them in this tournament.
MAAA softball on KREI, Farmington Park Hills. And two outs in the top of the seventh, 11-3 West County. The pitch from Ricky Lynn Wright to Fitzwater comes downstairs, and going to steal second is DeGaulle in the process. Uncontested, she'll get down to second base.
Defensive indifference there. 8-run lead, no sense in throwing down to second base.
I concur. Here's the 1-0. This one driven into deep center field straight away, and it is gone. A 3-run blast off the stick of Brooke Fitzwater goes 220 straight away. And don't look now, Bismarck starting to rally. Coming around to touch home plate on the 3-run blast is Fitzwater. And what a way to keep things going with two outs in the top of the seventh. Your team down by 9. They're trimming it down to 5 with one swing.
We've been talking about Fitzwater throughout this entire game, plugging in her name as one of the more impressive players for Bismarck. And what does she do? She delivers one to center field that was definitely a no-doubter.
Sounded
good off the stick, as you said. And, hey, like I said, two-out rallies. Plenty have been seen in this MAAA conference tournament.
If you've ever been to the sports complex, as this pitch comes through and driven into right center field, it's a playable ball. Will it get down? Yes, it'll drop. And the rally does continue. Another two-out base hit, this time off the bat of Briley Henson. And she gets down to the first base bag. And the rally ongoing for Bismarck, playing 4 already in the top of inning number 7.
Well, it's like in basketball. When you shoot a ball from an angle and you're like, is it going in? You kind of lean a little bit. Well, we're seeing that from West County. They're kind of leaning like, oh, we're almost have it here. Just one out to go.
This is a jammer off the hands and scooped by the first baseman, Drennan, and that will do it. She eliminates the rally on the short fly ball off the hands and for out number 3, and it ends the Bismarck rally. Now 11-6 is our final score. West County claims their third consecutive MAAA Spring Conference Tournament Championship, and Bismarck put up some fight late, but a little bit too late. 11-6, the final. West County takes it. We'll jump into our post game on the other side of this 2-minute pause on AM 800 KREI.
It's a big wide world out there, and to compete in the job market, education is key. But how to get started? Come see us and check out mineralarea.edu. With personal counseling, financial aid options, advising, and tutoring, we'll help you achieve success in your classes and offer opportunities for career planning and placement. Expand your mind, your skills, and your paycheck, because Mineral Area has got to be your next step.
Having great insurance is, well, great, but knowing who will repair your auto right and quickly is just as important. That's why you should know about Brad Wooten Auto Body. With over 20 years of hands-on experience, Brad Wooten continues to set the standards of excellence. Brad Wooten Auto Body is a direct repair facility, has loaner cars available, and offers you the same factory-trained ASC and ICAR certified technicians you're accustomed to. Now, the award-winning Brad Wooten Auto Body, across from the Ozarks Regional Library in Ironton, soon to be the number one repair facility in Southeast Missouri.
It was 1963.
And Fliggs Equipment in St. Genevieve was founded as a family-owned and operated business where it still remains today.
And in 2016, our second location in Ludington is opened.
Here at Fliggs Equipment, we are known best for selling exceptional equipment such as Case IH, Hustler Turf, Spartan, Vermeer, Cub Cadet, and many more.
Service from the time you enter the door or pick up the phone is taken to heart, because at Fliggs Equipment, we ask that you let our family serve your family.
There are lots of places to get mowers, tractors, and any piece of equipment, but none with the history and longevity of Fliggs Equipment, a proven company with certified technicians and customer service where you're more than just a number.
Your business is a family tradition to us.
Fliggs Equipment, Highway 32, St. Genevieve, on the outer service road at Lettington Exit, or online 24/7, fliggs.com.
Fliggs Equipment, let our family serve your family.
The choice of an insurance company is an important one. You want someone to provide you with the best policy, with the best price, and the best service a company possibly can. Welcome home to Missouri Alliance Mutual Insurance Company. Hi, I'm Kim Fisher.
And I'm Chris Schamberg. Missouri Alliance Mutual Insurance Company provides you with the best policy, the best price, and the best service we possibly can.
We are and will continue to be a hometown company with hometown values, servicing insurance needs in Perry County, St. Genevieve County, and in the surrounding areas.
You're at home with Missouri Alliance Mutual Insurance Company. Call our offices today in Perryville at 573-547-6633 or in St. Genevieve at 883-3520 or online at moalliance.ins.com.
And we are into the post-game show on AM 800 KREI. And for the third year in a row, the West County softball team finishes on top of the field in the MAAA spring softball season. The conference tournament winding to a close, 11-6. It was getting close to looking like West County might run rule Bismarck in at the bottom of inning number six. They escape with a 9-run margin. Bismarck shows some fight in the top of the seventh, gets started, and a 3-run blast from Brooke Fitzwater, and ultimately falling short as a jam shot scooped up with a nice play by the first baseman, Allie Drennan, for the final out of this contest. And for C.J. Wright and the West County Bulldogs, they improve to 13-0 against Bismarck ever since the spring season has been sanctioned by Misha. What a track record for one team against another. And for Bismarck, that will be their final opportunity with Alyssa Sago in the circle to claim the conference tournament championship. But these two teams do reside within the same district, and the district tournament coming up just around the corner. So it'll be interesting to see how that unfolds coming up later in the season. So we are going to hang around until we catch up with our two head coaches. We'll take a pause, and I believe that Coach Josh Haggerty is headed our way at this time to the Bird's Nest at the Potosi Sports Complex. We'll take a short pause, and we'll return when Coach makes it up to us next on AM 800 KREI.
Your time is precious. With online and mobile banking from Bloomsdale Bank, you can quickly check balances, make payments, transfer funds, and more. All from your smartphone, tablet, or desktop, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Which leaves you with more time to do the things you want. Manage your money with your fingertips. With online and mobile banking from Bloomsdale Bank, connected to our customers since 1914. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Back to the Bird's Nest at the Potosi Sports Complex. MAAA Conference Softball Tournament for the spring season in the books. The final is 11-6 in favor of West County. Joined now by the head coach of the Bismarck softball team, Coach Josh Haggerty. Coach, it didn't start I guess it did start the way you wanted to. The middle, not so much. The bookend, it seemed like things were going well. How did you see it from the dugout?
Pretty much the same thing. Kind of game plan was go in and jump on them as early as we possibly could. And, that was fine. We did that just fine. Came out 2 runs in the first inning, hitting well, hitting contagious, and kind of went down the line. You know, I think we batted the first 7 or 8 batters that first inning, and everything looking great. You know, even second inning, third inning, kind of holding them. Sago doing her job, defense actually doing their job. And then that dreaded middle of the game comes in, and it kind of all went down from there.
Was there anything specifically that Ricky Lynn was doing in the circle differently, or was it just a matter of her settling in, or what do you think it was?
I think she settled in well. She started finding her spots. We know she was shooting for that outside corner. But even knowing that, we went up and was kind of, for some reason, taking some pitches, taking the first strike, second strike, and it seemed like my girls were hitting in late, deep in the count an awful lot tonight or today. I'm not sure exactly why, but, first inning we went up aggressive. Middle of the game, she settled in, and we kind of started to settle in and maybe thinking that we was going to be fine with our two runs, which obviously isn't the case, but, it is what it is.
And definitely the approach that you had going into the game kind of altered the strike zone a little bit chubby, I called it, throughout the game. So really your approach at the plate had to adjust.
It did, absolutely. And, we saw that, and we kind of knew that going in, that it was going to be a fairly wide strike zone, especially on the outside part, which she was hitting, and we knew exactly where she was going for. The girls knew going in the first strike was probably going to be a fastball right on the outside part of the plate. Some girls made the adjustment, some maybe looking for something better, and we just didn't get the job done there.
You get down by 9 late in the contest, but you don't let that ten run margin come into effect. Not only do you not let it come into effect, you start a 2-out rally in the 7th, and it seemed like things were going to start to string together. I mean, Fitzwater crushed that ball dead straightaway center. And did you start to see the spirit of the team just start to spill over?
Yeah, absolutely. We come in after that big long bottom of the 6th inning, just kind of down, and then they just decided, 11-2. That's just not indicative of our caliber of play. We didn't want to go down as 11-2. We knew we were better than that. So I think the girls just kind of picked up and said, we're just not going to quit. We're going to play until they get us out, and then when it's over, it's over.
I guess if you're going to take away a silver lining from falling in this contest, doesn't end your season.
Correct.
District's coming up just around the corner. How do you feel about District 6 now?
District 6, I told the girls in the locker room, chances are we're going to see kind of a repeat performance of this week. It's just going to be kind of a mirror image of, looking at that first round. Who knows exactly how it's going to happen, but I'm sure it'll be something like a Valley Catholic-type school, and we're going to do that, and then we get past that team, hopefully, and then the repeat performance of tonight.
I won't ask what it is. I'll just ask if there's still a trick up the sleeve at this point in the season.
Well, we're looking for them. We're looking for the tricks. There's still a few, and we're fine-tuning those tricks, put it that way.
Might have that fifth ace in the sleeve when the time comes.
I'm hoping so.
Once again, the head coach of the Bismarck softball team, Coach Josh Haggerty. They finish as runners-up in the MAAA Conference Tournament. Coach, we appreciate you coming up and joining us on the post game, and we'll be right there for districts.
Thank you.
And we'll step aside for a short pause. When we come back, be joined by the head coach of West County, C.J. Wright, up next on KREI.
Get anytime access with Unico Bank's 24-hour banking service. All you need is a touch-tone phone. You can check your current loan balances, check on your last loan payment, get the due date of your next loan payment, transfer funds between accounts current time, as well as check out your account balance. It is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, including holidays. It is easy to use. To find out more, stop at a Unico Bank near you in Potosi, Irondale, or Deloge, or unicobank.com. Unico Bank, homegrown, locally owned, locally operated. For you.
You are not one who simply follows the herd. For you, a tractor is a functional tool, not just a color of paint. At Kohl's Tractor and Equipment, we invite you to compare before you buy. Heck, we encourage you. Don't pay those franchise fees. LS, the major brand maker, offers a 5-year warranty, the best on the market. Compare the LS tractor to other brands. We know you will find more standard features, including the R4 industrial tire, quick attach loader, skid steer quick attach bucket, dual hydraulic remotes, and much more. Simply put, get more features, the best quality, and the best warranty with lower prices. We know you'll find yourself saving thousands below other major brands. Come see us at Kohl's Tractor and Equipment today, 1 mile east of Farmington on Highway 32. Give us a call at 573-756-4353. You are not one who simply follows the herd. For you, a tractor is a functional tool, not just a color of paint.
Kohl's Tractor and Equipment. Don't just follow the herd, lead the herd.
It's a big wide world out there, and to compete in the job market, education is key. But how to get started? Come see us and check out mineralarea.edu. With personal counseling, financial aid options, advising, and tutoring, we'll help you achieve success in your classes and offer opportunities for career planning and placement. Expand your mind, your skills, and your paycheck. Because Mineral Area has got to be your next step.
Yeah, And back into the press box at the Potosi Sports Complex following the conclusion of the MAAA Conference Softball Tournament. The final score 11-6 as West County claims yet another Spring Conference Tournament title, topping Bismarck. The Indians did, however, put together an exciting rally late that ultimately fell short. An exciting top of the seventh as Bismarck finding back a three-run shot from Brooke Fitzwater, really start the party and drive in those three, and an additional coming across in that inning as well. But ultimately, the final score is 11-6 in favor of West County, and now claiming yet another conference title in the spring. Now we'll have head coach of West County, C.J. Wright, throw a headset on after we unwrap it from the chair. Coach, 11-6 is the final. You complete the goal of repeating as conference champions in the spring, and now three in a row, back-to-back Final Fours prior to this year, another conference title, and 13-0 against your most staunch conference opponent. It's a pretty great track record.
Yeah, you know, they get tougher and tougher, and today it looked like it was set up to be one of those, you know, close finish walk-off type games, and 2-2 into the fifth, and you know, I pulled the girls to the side and we talked to them and just, let's make her work this inning. You know, I don't know what it is about the fifth inning, but we're always, you know, big in the fifth inning. We come up with some runs in the fifth inning. You know, not every game, but most games we come up with a big inning in the fifth. And so just reassure the girls and give them some confidence, some just positive words. And sometimes I can be too negative, but in the fifth inning, I just – positive words for them and make Sega work, and we did, and it just worked out well in the fifth inning.
It seems like just watching your team a handful of times that I have this year and over the past couple of years, they adjust very well the second, third time through to a pitcher.
Yeah, in-game adjustments, at-bat, in-bat adjustments, and we talk about it all the time. And, you know, it's some of the things that other people overlook, and we talk about it. We just, it's all the time. Every time I meet out there between innings when it's offense, I got something to say about making adjustments. And the girls chime in. And the girl that may have made the last out in the at the previous inning says what the girl was doing to him, what she struck out on, what she popped out on. And so we kind of get a plan going through the game. So, you know, it's not an accident. The girls work hard at it, and they're – educated about our opponent, you know, as the game goes on, and they talk about it. And the dugout is, nobody sits down, nobody's out of the game. They're always talking about each at bat, and I just think that helps in game adjustments and in bat adjustments.
And since the spring season, since its inception, since you've been the coach for West County softball in the spring season, how long did it take to develop that kind of culture where you could have that input from the team and yourself?
I was fortunate enough to come in with a team of just fantastic softball players. I looked out on the field my first year, and I had 9 girls that were club team softball players. So we're talking 9 girls that travel the Midwest playing travel softball against some of the best competition in the Midwest. And I was fortunate my first year to come in with that. So we had younger girls, girls that are still on the team today that played with those girls. And it was easy to coach that type of mentality to those girls because they understood the game. We didn't have to spend so much time on understanding what a force out was, what you could go on. So we preached that. So it spills over from going back to the Bailey Marks, the Hannah Hollicks, the Hannah Becks, the McKenzie Carolines, going back to those girls, that these girls are feeding off those girls still. So you got to go back to there. And, you know, it's just a mentality that I was fortunate to come into a softball team like that I was able to do that with. And the younger girls are capitalizing on that today.
And a lot of the names that you mentioned and some of the names on the roster today, a big factor in the pedigree that your team has built in the spring over the past 3 or 4 years or past 3 years. And now moving forward, a somewhat new look district this year,
oh, yeah,
in 1-6. And what are your thoughts looking down the line there?
You know, we got to take one game at a time, but looking at it, you know, it could be us and Bismarck again. And you throw a district title on it, you know, conference is big, but districts, you know, it's even bigger. That means you're going on to the big show when you get in that state run there. And it's just, you throw a title on a game like a district finals, and it just gets tougher, and especially when a girl like Sagal's in the, on the mound. And it's going to be interesting. Not that I want to see him again, but I do. You know, right. You know what I mean? I don't want to see him again, but I do, because I want to be in that finals. I think Bismarck will be.
Hey, you put on quite the show collectively, playing 7, 8, 9.5 innings throughout the entire tournament and claiming that. How important is it to accomplish that feat, set out that goal, and achieve it in this two-day span?
You know, it's really important, and it's important going into the districts to do what we did. We come in, put an exclamation point on the game last night, and today, you know, the first 3 or 4 innings was a tight game, and the fifth inning we come out and have a big inning in the fifth, and they did make a couple mistakes, but we capitalize on every mistake they made, and that's what you want to see. High school teams are going to make mistakes. I mean, we made mistakes. The difference is capitalizing on their mistakes and keeping your mistakes in check and not letting them capitalize. And that's what we was able to do today. The last thing was a little rocky, a couple missed, you know, pitches. Ricky Lynn kind of took for granted that it was 11-2, and I think 2 outs and relaxed a little bit. And just, you know, just a couple missed pitches and to a pretty good hitter that hit. That hit one 220 feet. So she's a little disappointed she let that happen, but it is what it is, and the score still was 11-6. So
still a W when you look back.
Yep.
Now, moving forward, you have such a successful team that's had the deep runs over the past couple of years, the perennial powerhouse in the spring. How do you measure success in the postseason? After back-to-back Final Fours and all that, how do you guys in-house measure success?
Our goal starting this year is a district title. That's what we talked about. We don't go any farther than that. The big scheme of things is it's nice to get to the Final Four. It's fantastic, honestly. I feel like we was very fortunate to get there last year. I had zero expectations to get to the Final Four. I'd be lying if I said I really thought we'd get to the Final Four last year. I wanted to win a district title, and that was our goal, and anything after that was a bonus. This year is the same way. We come into the season, and our expectations are and goals are to win a district title, and anything after that is a plus. Look, saying that, of course, yes, it'd be great to go back, but right now that is not our goal. That will be our goal when we get to the quarterfinals, if we get there.
Looking forward to that short trip for districts, maybe?
Oh, I'm ready for it.
All right, once again, the head coach of the West County softball team, C.J. Wright, conference champions once again, and sounds like they are cocked, locked, and ready to rock for districts. That'll do it for our broadcast. Thank you to C.J. Wright, Josh Haggerty, Paul Hamilton for Kingston hosting this event. And thank you to Sean Wynn, Engineering and Operating, and Matt Greenwood as my broadcast partner. Till next time, be good or be good at it. We'll see you.